Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Yes, well, that is, isn't it? That the concept of being entertained, that's never going to go out of style, is
no,
it?
No, we do like to yuck it up.
We do.
And on the subject of sleight of hand.
Well, we've got in our studio
in
today,
in our midst,
sitting too close, it's too hot. We've got the masters of misdirection, which would be Simon Coronel and Dave Funkel. Welcome Ooh. Back.
I love how he's still called Dave Funkel.
Yeah, I'm fine with Dave Funkel.
Okay, works out.
That's my official name now. How do I change it officially?
Deepol, I think. That's how you do it.
Yeah, we're doing that.
Providing Interpol aren't after you, I think you can change it.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably good.
Wow.
Well, okay. So what's the Dave Funkel story?
What is the Dave Funkel story, Simon?
So this was, I mean, his name's Dave.
Surprise.
I know that's a surprise. So this actually began way back. A really good friend of mine, his name's Andrew Masters, he's a writer. Originally, we had a friend who was really into minimalist music, like art noise, experimental, minimal, almost not even music.
And it's the sound of silence.
Yeah, well, sounds of like weird, just ambient sound stuff,
yes.
Like, you know, noises.
Yeah.
Art noise.
They're the people that get the top design jobs. No.
That kid who's edging for a career in commercial radio.
See, right there. It's going to be a whole program. Yeah.
That is a long flush. It's still going. No. Yeah, that's full flush. No.
They're the people that get the dream jobs at Apple.
That's a meeting,
aren't they? The people who do this minimalist sound and things. They're the ones who the only person who actually reads their blog is Michael Eaves from Apple, and they offer them $1 million.
That's right.
God, we should get into that.
I know.
It's way more lucrative than what we're actually doing.
You've got multiple income stream opportunities,
that's true.
Guys.
Oh, absolutely.
So we made a joke album of art noise for our friend, my friend Andrew, and we like recorded a piece of cheese for 3 minutes. Like things like that. So we actually did this. We really made this album.
Was it just smelly, stinky French cheese?
No, it was just Gouda.
Just Gouda.
Got a chunk in the fridge, recorded it, like actually did it. And just on a whim, we called it by Simon and Andrew Funkel. Because it was his idea. It was hilarious. But we never did anything else with it. Now, years later, when Dave and I started doing a duo show together,
needed a name.
I sort of like, you know what, Simon and Dave Funkel. And I checked with Andrew, can we use that? And that was just how it started.
And Andrew was like, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. He gave his blessing.
And we're so pleased because last time you were both in the studio with the Escape Pod. Dave, you had laryngitis.
Yeah, I had my tonsils removed.
Oh,
yeah.
Your tonsils removed.
Yeah,
that's right. So.
I can't believe I actually did the whole radio show. Amazing what modern medicine can do with painkillers.
He's a trooper.
Yeah.
That's what we like.
So much nicer to be able to talk without intense pain between tendencies.
See, now I don't have an excuse to dominate the conversation, though.
Now you have to share all the toys in the sandbox. So since we last met and since you said goodbye to your tonsils, where have you guys been? Because you are just constantly globetrotting.
Yeah.
Well, Dave's been a Rosanna.
No, well, hang on. I've been trading, spending my time between Melbourne CBD and Rosanna.
That's a good point.
So,
two quite the commute.
Yeah.
Although we were both in LA.
We were.
At the same time. So
that's better than Rosanna.
Yeah. I moved to LA. Yeah. I lived there.
Oh, so you're now an LA.
I'm in LA, a Los Angelino, as they call it.
So La.
I'm very La.
Yeah, I'm very
LA.
La.
We started calling it La. Sounded more French.
If only you could see the bling, ladies and gentlemen.
Are you taking on any LA affectations?
I am. I've become an LA driver.
What, you drive kale?
Do you know how much kale he eats? He eats a lot.
I eat a lot of kale.
Yeah.
A lot of kale and quinoa, actually.
Right.
What was the first meal? Okay, I arrived in LA, and I think it was morning, so we went to go get breakfast at the local LA place.
Oh, Tiago.
Tiago's. And so what was on the menu? It was egg white
scramble. It was their morning protein kick.
Yeah, egg white scramble, kale, quinoa,
and grilled chicken.
Grilled chicken and goji berries or something like that.
Goji berries. Yeah,
so we're just, so we're just eating really out. And then Wolverine walks in. Like, not actual Wolverine, but like a guy dressed in Wolverine costume. So I'm just like, this is the most LA breakfast I've ever had in my life.
Because it's hallucinogenic.
Yeah,
just the whole experience there is just absolutely surreal. Bizarre. It is, you know, La La Land. I mean, it's
people taking themselves way too seriously.
Everything you've heard about LA is true. Just everything. Any story, anything tells you about LA, it's true. Yeah. It's, you know.
What's your number one story so far? What was the thing that's impacted you as a human?
Man.
Ooh, that's tough.
That's tough. Yeah. So many things.
Yeah.
Just tell us something funny.
God. What even? So, I mean, okay, so just Hollywood Boulevard on a Saturday night when you're, because if you're living, I'm living, you know, in that area.
Oh, okay.
And you just, and one of the late night, they're hanging out at the Magic Castle, the Academy of Magical Arts, the main, you know, hub for this stuff around the world.
Yes, you're so heaven.
Often, it finishes at, you know, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. in the evening. Then people often go to Mel's Diner, which is one of the popular, you know, late night eating spots where you get a, can get a kale and quinoa salad. Okay. At a diner. You can get a kale and quinoa salad with grilled salmon at a diner.
You wouldn't get
LA.
That in Manhattan.
No. So I'm eating my kale and quinoa salad, and just like, you know, freaks and strange people are walking around and coming in for a milkshake, and they're just like,
they're called celebrities.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. God, I wish. That'd be way more interesting. And just like some stoned,
they're called the Kardashians.
And some stoned naked dude walks in, just, you know, just that's walking in, just naked, like looking a bit disoriented, looks around and walks out again. Right. And no, really, people definitely notice, but it's Hollywood on a Saturday night, you know, you just don't even know. Just
So you actually do not need to even worry about paying for a Netflix subscription because you just go to Mel's Diner.
Yeah, that's right. Although funny you should say that, we pay for a Netflix subscription here and we actually had to hack it to be able to pay for it.
Yeah.
Because Netflix is
public broadcasting.
Yeah, I mean, we pay for the Australian Netflix that just came out.
Did it come out finally?
Yeah.
We've actually finally. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Well, we can stop doing the American one now.
It's been in LA for long.
I'm LA now.
Yeah. And did you get to LA?
So LA.
With the green card?
No, I'm in the middle of applying for a green card, actually. Okay. I'm there on a... This is the best thing ever. I'm there on a visa for, and this is the technical official designation for aliens of extraordinary ability.
I've missed my favourite show on Joy. What do I do? What do I do?
Podcasters to battle!
Joy podcasters fight on tirelessly to bring you the best bits of every show. So if you've missed something recently on Joy, don't worry, our podcasters have your back. Head to joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab or look us up on iTunes. Podcasters on Joy 94.9, fighting tirelessly for your listening pleasure.
And you're listening to Joy 94.9 in the Escape Pod with Joe Pryor and Mark Adams. And, of course, do we need to back announce the gorgeous Miss Olivia Newton-John with Magic?
What a track.
Yes.
What a track. And there's a reason why we have said our notes very clearly. It's to send lovely greetings to Donna and Sybilla.
And they've got a birthday in the family.
They have a birthday
they
in the family.
They do. And what a divine name, Bette.
I see what you did there.
I love it. It's just gorgeous, yes.
Well, happy 6th birthday, yes. Bette. It's lovely to have the three of you listening in today on Joy 94.9. It is a cracking day out there. And talking about cracking, we've got two sleight-of-hand professionals. We were talking about Los Angeles.
Indeed.
We're talking about Rosanna.
Lovely.
The suburb.
She's lovely.
Not the 1950s song.
It's like Rosanna, who works at Pellegrini's.
Yeah, yeah.
Is actually the cool, like the chef
is
at Pellegrini's.
Name?
Yeah, her name's Rosanna. That's how I remember her name. That's where we live. Yeah, Rosie, Rosanna.
Of course.
Yeah. She's cool. Go. Shout out to Rosanna at Pellegrini's. Yeah. She's the best.
Excellent. That's done. And come on now. Come on, Dave. Tell us, what have you been up to? Because I know that you guys practice like mad in your profession to make it look easy.
We're pretty good at pretending to practice like mad, don't we? Well, okay, so we should probably, like, because the backstory is I work in IT during the day.
Right.
And I do magic purely for fun, but, you know, there are opportunities when I go back to LA.
Job Bluth of IT.
Yeah, exactly.
Rides on the coattails of Simon's.
That's exactly right. I go back to the LA and we go to the Magic Castle and I'm like, I'm with this guy. And I was like, oh, all right, fine, come in. And no, it's good. And pretty much the only time we do practice is when he comes back and gets me into gear because I'm pretty lazy. But when he's in town, we basically, make
and
it up as we go.
And it's worth it for me because having him in the show makes all my stuff better because performing solo, I need to really, you know, write it and rehearse it and everything. Whereas when performing with Dave, writes itself.
Yeah.
It's easy. We just translate the natural banter onto stage, do some adequate to good magic, and psh, done.
Yeah. I mean,
it's comedy. It's holiday time for me.
What's the saying? Know? If it isn't magic, it's comedy?
Oh, yeah. what is it? Yeah, this show is about comedy and magic. It's a really old line. Yeah. So anything that's not funny, that's magic.
Yeah. Got it.
if you don't laugh, if it doesn't make you laugh, that's the magic.
Yeah. So in terms of the creative process, I mean, where do you actually park your brain to access, you know, how you're going to keep coming up with ways to misdirect and create illusions? I mean, where does that
come
from?
Really funny. Our best work is usually on Saturday morning over brunch, and it tends like we can't come up with any decent ideas unless we're over eating, you know, scrambled egg whites with kale and quinoa. And we usually will go, all right, what's a new trick that you've learned that we can now somehow shoehorn into a two-man trick because it's a two-man show?
Okay.
He's basically, I don't know, how does...
There's, in most of the creative process, in my experience, and ours, it tends to happen in the 48 hours before opening night, accompanied by a lot of swearing. Basically, it's the muse only visits when it's deadline time.
Yeah.
Before then, we go, okay, here's a bunch of ideas. All right, these are good ideas. Like, yeah, let's work on that.
So it's not then, like songwriting then?
I don't know. I've never written a song.
They normally have to have the song, you know, done before they go and perform.
No, it's not.
It's
like
a
that.
Lot like improv songwriting. Is that a thing? That sounds like a thing.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not a thing.
Ah, oh, damn.
Well, jam, I guess you jam.
Can you quickly get a Kickstarter campaign up so that it can be a thing?
Yeah.
Because sure, every 1.2 seconds a new one goes live.
That's right. And we can offer rewards of breakfast.
Seen, like, improv, like music-based improv shows where they, you know, they come up with a song in the moment. I mean, it's not songwriting, you're not writing the music, but there's, you know, we're working together doing it.
We work on a lot of techniques and sort of stuff. So it is in a bit, you build up your foundations, you get all your bits and pieces that you know work, and then it's all about connecting them at the right time. And I guess come up with a funny premise a lot of the time is, this doesn't make sense, but how can we make it wacky and funny somehow?
Well, okay, for example, a thing that just finally we've sort of had a breakthrough recently on something about a year and a half ago. Because, we're on all these, like, magic product mailing lists, like, new magic devices and techniques and stuff come out all the time. It's a huge global industry that you would never even imagine how much of an industry this is, selling magic tricks and methods and stuff to other hobbyists or professional magicians.
Enthusiasts.
Yeah. It's mostly the enthusiast market, but then, the pros use them as well. And so every now and then something, and most of it's just complete crap. It's just junk that's released to make it, to cash in on the enthusiasts who think it's going to be good and it's actually not. But every now and then something good comes out. This thing came out way back by a guy called Axel Hecklau in Germany, and it's basically, without spoiling it, because it's in the show now, it's a device that does a secret thing. So it's this thing.
Wow, really descriptive.
If I say what the object is, they'll know which trick it is, and it might ruin it for people who come to the show.
Sure.
This thing comes out, and we go, "Ooh, that's a really cool deceptive thing. There's got to be something you can do with that."
Because it makes, I mean, it's kind of boring as it is. Like,
yeah, the thing itself basically changes a thing into another thing.
Okay, so let's just say it could be a teacup, and it changes into a Rubik's Cube.
Yes, exactly. Yes, that is a good way to describe it. It's not those,
have you seen the show?
No.
Oh, okay.
So it's this thing where, and it's, so yeah, to use that analogy, it's a teacup that, it's a really magical transformation. Looks really good, very self-contained. It's like, wow. So I ordered one. Just going, there's got to be something we can do with that. Because really deceptive illusions are quite rare. Like, to get something that looks really that amazing. So, like, right, we got, and then for a year and a half, came up with nothing.
Nothing.
Like some kind of teacup-based routine.
We used it once during an improv routine. Because we do...
Oh, yes,
We have a segment where, because we can't fill up a whole show, we just go, well, we got 10 minutes, we're going to make up a trick on the spot. And we usually get a guest act to come in, and we pick some random objects from the audience, and then we go backstage for 10 minutes and make up a new trick. And that's when we had an opportunity to use that
for the first time ever. We do that in the show. We genuinely improv invent a magic trick. We borrow three objects from the audience. We try and get unusual quirky objects and then go backstage for 10 minutes while we have a guest act and come out and do a trick or routine involving those objects. So we like create the thing genuinely in the show on the spot.
I'm just amazed at how spontaneous it is, because you were both in terms of the way you have trained for your careers, both intense, technical, and very almost dry in a good way, but and so this is your complete creative outlet, and it just happens spontaneously.
You almost can't control it. Like, it's one of those, you can't force it just either works or it doesn't,
but it works better under the pressure of a deadline. There's no deadline more than 10 minutes. The audience is already there. Guest act is killing for time.
Don't get us wrong. The quality does vary significantly between each performance.
No quality is guaranteed on that improv trick. Again, if it fails as magic, it succeeds as comedy. So it's a win-win.
Well, that one time we got a prosthetic leg as one of the props. True story. And so we decided to do leg-based puns for the whole the 10 minutes because we couldn't come up with a good
joke. Jokes afoot.
Yeah. It's funny. You know what? Some people found it hilarious. I think the rest of the crowd wasn't sure if they should be laughing or not.
Were they aghast?
Yeah. Well, they were weird. But then the guy who gave us the leg loved it. So I'm like, come on.
We got given a set of house keys, a prosthetic leg. Like, the guy just unstrapped his prosthetic leg and handed it to us.
Thank you, Adam Hills.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's just a foot. This was a whole, like, from the knee downwards. Wow. This chunky thing. So we had to do
gam.
Leg-based, yeah, exactly.
And that scenario, the magic...
You never know.
The magic was definitely comedy, because it was not
the
working.
The best one ever was that one at the show last year. It was a wine glass, a pack of breath mints, and a pack of microwave oats that someone had in their bag.
That was a good
one. She'd been shopping.
Yeah.
And we came up with something really good about
that. I hope for several people that eclecticism. You're in Joy 94.9. You're in the Skate Pod with Joe and Mark. We have Dave Funkel and Simon Coronel, who are sleight of handers.
Joy 94.9 has a huge range of programs available for podcast. In fact, Joy is one of the largest podcasting communities on community radio. If you haven't checked out our podcasting service, you're missing out. Visit joy.org.au, click on the podcast tab, and you'll find a list of Joy programs regularly sharing the best interviews, news, and reviews. There's tens of thousands of hours for you to enjoy, so check it out now. joy.org.au.
And you're in the Escape Pod on Joy 94.9. And that was a very special birthday track. That was Superwoman by Alicia Keys. And that is for our Ms. Bet, who is listening today. So happy birthday. Collectively, the best track.
Yeah, best track we can find for a young superwoman. Thank you for listening, Bet.
Indeed, absolutely. Now, we've got in the studio with us today Simon Coronel and Dave Funkel, as he likes to be called.
And thank you for coming to the Escape Pod and Joy 94.9.
It's really a pleasure, pleased. Joe Pryor and Mark Evans.
We love having you guys here because you do both travel a lot. And there's been, you know, when you are on the road constantly, things do change in your life, and you do start to think about things a little bit differently. And I found it quite interesting with some of the famous artists who've been releasing some of their kind of thought processes, like Nick Cave's 20,000 Days. Have you both had a look at that movie yet?
No,
really.
Oh, the Dark Heart of Elstonwick.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, it was quite,
I've heard about it.
It's quite fascinating how he was talking about how important it is for the people who are in the front row of his concerts. So here's the next tip. If you like Nick Cave, get into the front row, because he needs that front row to feed and direct where he's going.
Oh, yeah,
totally need that.
Does that work for you guys as well?
Absolutely. Yeah,
it's not necessarily the front row, but it's
how many rows do you get?
As many as you can see.
Yeah.
It depends on the venue.
It's not necessarily the front row. It's the only row that we have.
Yeah, so the row, basically. We call that the audience.
The audience, that mum.
These six seats in the venue that we're doing.
Absolutely.
So you get to see about three with the lights on?
It depends on the venue. Every venue is so different. But people who are visibly responding and engaging, like facially or audibly. The screamers.
The screamers,
throwing their knickers on the stage.
Yeah, just people who are visibly connecting and reacting. You need that. Like, I was just at Adelaide Fringe. It was horrible. Worst thing ever.
Why?
Just the audiences were mostly small. Like, sales are bad. The venue was really dingy. And people, like, what most people were not reacting. It was a tent. You know, as you do, standard Adelaide Fringe.
It was a marquee.
Exactly. You know, this one was a tent.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. The other ones were marquees. I was in the tent. Yeah.
It had strings on it.
Now, that's interesting, though. Do you think that there's some changes with the popularity of festivals in terms of ticket sales?
Yeah. I think Adelaide Fringe is kind of, it seems, a lot of people were having similar experience, seems to have hit a bubble. Like, the supply, there's too many shows now for the demand.
Right.
And the big shows with the big marketing budgets are just dominating. Same problem here. Everyone just goes to see Husey at the Comedy Festival. But it's way more extreme in Adelaide. And the smaller indie shows were just struggling to get people in. But that thing, like with Nick Cave, they were less responsive than any audience I've seen. Perth Fringe was great. Perth people were lovely. Would go again in a second. But Adelaide, the small crowds, they weren't engaging. You know, it was.
So do you get to provide that feedback to the organisers?
I don't know. They haven't asked.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to bother telling
you. You just don't
go back.
Rebook.
You know, yeah, I just wouldn't do it again, you know.
And are there places you really want to perform, guys, that you haven't had a chance to yet?
Oh, you know what? Like, anywhere in Japan, I think it's because I was telling Simon when I was in LA, and we did a short bit in the Magic Castle, just, you know, impromptu. And I was just telling him, because, you know, it's not often I perform in America, he does it all the time. The audience there, they're culturally much more vocal and really excited. And the same thing with the Japanese, like, they find magic super amazing and they like to make vocal responses to it. Oh. And that feedback loop really helps because we're high energy with our shows, and it's really hard to generate the energy unless you've got someone feeding it to you. So audience reactions really, really do help. And yeah, so usually the better the audience, the better the show. Really important.
Yeah, we should try and line up a Japanese Simon Dave Hunkel Japanese tour.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
If anyone knows any producers, promoters in Japan who yeah, want yeah. A red hot act to take over.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you were in China, weren't you, not that long ago?
Yeah. Actually, it was a while now. It was
because you're also a student of the language, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I speak sort of passable Mandarin. Definitely not fluent.
Did you do the show in Mandarin?
I did some of it in Mandarin. Again, I'm not fluent enough to do the whole show, but enough. Right. What I actually normally do is I do the first. Sort of two-thirds of the show in English with a translator, just like every other English performer. So, oh yeah, cool. And then for the last bit go, so I thought for this last bit I would try and maybe speak some Mandarin.
So people and warmed up to you. And,
yeah, and they right. like me, but they're expecting it to be terrible, because it always is when, you know, some white guy, you know, starts trying Mandarin and then launches this torrent of, like, perfectly, you know, near enough perfectly accented Chinese, and just everyone loses their shit. It's great. Because they're so not expecting that at that point, because you've been hiding that so far. Mm. So,
do you think Kevin Rudd copied your idea?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely yeah, after.
Pretty much.
He's younger yeah. than you, right? I mean, yeah. That's, yeah right, sure, no. I mean, it is embarrassing because I'm of ouch. Chinese descent. That I when we go out, that he has to do the Mandarin speaking on our, because I don't speak Mandarin. So it is really kind of embarrassing.
Is English your
English is I was born in Australia, so English is my, and I speak really bad Cantonese as well. So I mean, in Hong Kong, I'll be okay, but when in Shanghai, it was just
it's pretty awkward.
So this is your translating.
I'm doing the
yeah,
translating.
Yeah. I bring the white guy.
China, yeah. The white guy's translating for, yeah. for the Hong Kong guy. It's kind of
awkward. Oh, the modern world is fascinating. Isn't
I know.
It?
Yeah.
Well, it reminds me, because in the show, a lot of racial humor ends up coming through, because, you know, we Chinese and Australia, you know, the white Asian thing, and that we often play off that. And it reminds me, there was a show I saw in the Hollywood Fringe a few years ago called The Black and the Jew. And it was,
a black
guy and a Jewish woman who had got together and become married. And it was their show about all the racial, cultural
stereotypes.
Yeah. And like how they each had them about each other. And, you know, they're now really married. It's a show mostly autobiographical. Hilarious. Wow. Because it's confronting. Like, they can do all, she can do all the Jewish jokes. He can do all the black jokes. They can do them about each other. It was a fascinating, like, slightly uncomfortable, but still
deeply
very funny. Yeah.
So does that translate intense. For you guys then from the perspective of there are some traditional Asian tricks?
Oh, yeah.
And then there are some very traditional Caucasian or, you know, let's say American, Western.
No?
Not yet.
Basically, well, I'm reminded of that the show with the rowdy Asian crowd when we did close-up gallery together.
One night we were doing a variety show with me, Simon, and another friend of ours who's of Asian descent.
Yeah, he's Malaysian.
But also the host was white, so it was actually quite even. But there was a crowd of rowdy Asians in the top left corner. It was maybe like 20 of them. Yeah. I don't know. It was a lot of them.
Was it a social group? Or?
Yeah, it was a social group.
They
kind of
knew each other.
But then,
from somewhere.
That's right. So
having
Simon,
a few drinks, having fun.
The front row were Caucasians, and he was doing his Mandarin trick, and he always, you know, starts speaking Mandarin. He goes, do you speak, does anyone here speak Mandarin? And it's like the back corner goes, ooh, crazy, yeah. And then he goes to one of the ladies at the front, and, you know, Caucasian, goes, my name is, in Chinese, my name is Simon, your name is what? And she responds in perfect Mandarin, my name is whatever. And we're like, okay, what?
What?
Yeah, so you move on to the next person, another Caucasian, and tries it again, and she speaks perfect Mandarin, and we went, all right, and like me and Yao on the side are just like cracking up because it's the weirdest scenario right now, and we're going like, and you go to the third person and go, if you speak Mandarin,
the line was, I will literally shit myself. That was what I said.
And
we've got happens. A 6 year old listening because it's her birthday.
Starts using the S word.
Oops. Keep forgetting.
Dookie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will dookie myself.
So what was the reply when you ask, what is your name?
She replied in Mandarin.
Yeah.
And everyone
the
just
rowdy
it.
Asians went really rowdy. And
just lost
yeah.
it. It was amazing.
And
but
yeah.
The whole show was spent with, like, mostly Dave and Yar making jokes with the rowdy Asians about being rowdy and Asian. And so this whole, like, multicultural level riffing thing was going on throughout the whole show. It was fascinating.
So it obviously...
So where was that?
Oh, sorry.
That was Melbourne Magic Festival a couple of years ago.
I think it really helps in a multicultural kind of city where you can make those. Like, again, in America, if you do that, there's always a slight pause where they're not sure if they're supposed to laugh. And then when we start laughing, they kind of get along with it. Yeah, but yeah, it does definitely help when it's a multicultural.
Well, it's also because, I mean, culturally, in America, you know, with sort of, you know, the white-black thing, there's all that historical, you know, really, really, really deep nastiness that happened. Whereas with Asian Western Australia, it's not always perfect, but there isn't that horrific cultural background to it. It was, you know, with the East and Western thing. So it's a much more relaxed, you know, racial dynamic here.
Well, the United States has a very difficult black and white history.
That's a whole, obviously. Yeah. Right? So, of course, it's still very intensely charged. It's still very relevant.
Yeah,
you know.
Ferguson, but 50 years ago, Selma. So, yeah, there's a lot of healing that still needs to be done. So in an LA crowd, what's the thing that you're most afraid of slipping up and saying that's going to...
Okay. No.
I was hoping you would think it through.
You can't say...
Jump right on this.
You can't say retarded there. Like, we...
Oh, it's a thing, yeah.
Like, that's a really... But like, they went up to me like, you can't say the R word. I'm like, what, retarded? And they're like, no, you can't say the R word. I'm like, I didn't know that was a thing, sorry. No, I didn't realize how full on, like, they...
Because of people with disability.
Yeah.
And it's really and there's a good, you know, that's a very valid point. Yeah. Because the word ends up demonizing a segment of the population and
people
so
with,
on.
Living with a disability.
Which is still a thing here, but it's a way more extreme trend in America. That's really been taken on as a really big thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
I was like quite taken aback. It was a very cultural shock for me because we use it, well, I don't know if right or wrong.
It's a very common,
time,
you know, general term for something that doesn't work properly in Australia. You know,
and I think
car is just retarded at the moment.
Perhaps in the UK as well, you'd get away with it.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
probably.
Jeremy Clarkson made a career out of homophobia, sexism, and racism. Yeah. So,
can we say retarded on the radio? Or is that?
Well, it's a thing. Like, it's not.
I've said it four times, so I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Here are some benefits you could gain by becoming a Joy 94.9 sponsor. Increase awareness of your product. Increase your customer base. Increase your profits so you can afford that new item you've had your eye on. You know the one I mean. Gregory sponsors Joy, and now his business is just peachy. Isn't that so, Gregory?
Yes, well, I've
had... Wonderful. Dial today. 1-300-JOY-949. Or send your mail electronically. sales@joy.org.au. That's A-U as in A-U. Sponsor Joy.
So, our guests today are sleight of handers. Do you ever say magician?
I always say illusionist.
Illusionist.
If I have to pick something, I just avoid labels, you know, because we don't need labels in our lives. But then you do, actually, for marketing.
Well, you absolutely
need to know
do,
what you're saying.
Yeah.
I know, I always say illusionist.
Is it pottery? I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? I perpetually struggle with what to call it because, like, every word, you know, people's preconceptions when they hear a certain word are often so wrong for what's actually going to happen. You know, you say magic, most people think either David Copperfield or Chris Angel or a kids entertainer in Top Hat. And none of those are anything like what we actually do.
Fancy balloon, Johnny.
Exactly. That kind of thing. You know, it's like, nothing.
And it is true because...
So it's a tricky thing.
In the early days when you were just... Before you'd left your full-time career with the dark side and gone absolutely solo as a creative traveling artist.
I'm still in the dark side, by the way.
We know. You balance the books.
You're kind of a little bit dark, a little bit light.
I sometimes miss the dark side.
And
that regular page.
You had a gig at a place in the city,
Tony Starr's Kitten Club.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And I managed to... I can't quite remember how I did this. Obviously, I was under a lot of, you know, chemo at the time. Hoodwink all of my oncology team to come along to your show. And, of course, you know, it's a bit weird in terms of a patient-doctor relationship. Yeah. And they're like, we're going to a magic show? But
see, exactly, exactly.
The magic happens at Peter Mac, Joe.
And they still talk about, you know, they still say, so I actually give them a bit of a nudge to say, you know, these guys are in town. And more importantly, that you've made that big jump to go to full-time creative artist, because it's not cheap to do.
Yeah, that's the problem, is the kind of people who would enjoy, I mean, my show and our show are not necessarily the kind of people who would enjoy a magic show, quote unquote. So it's a really tough thing to know how to market, and it's a constant challenge.
What about you, Dave Funkel?
Well, see, because people ask me what I do, I'm an IT consultant.
Which part do you fix? Are you systems architecture or visualization?
It's all very design back end, so consulting, a lot of customer facing. So not very, you know, hands-on-y technical.
Not programming.
Not programming, no. But evidently people find out I do magic. And honestly, the most annoying part is as soon as anyone finds out you do magic and you're at work and I'm trying to fix something or trying to solve something, you get the project manager come up and it's like, hey, Dave, why don't you just magic the problem away? And I get that consistently every project.
Zing!
And I'm like, just trying to fix the problem. Don't punch him in the face. Don't punch him in the face. It is hard, but at the same time, you can actually use it to your advantage because, you know, IT can be quite boring. People don't get to, you know, see a lot of variety. And when they find out you're a magician, it does help.
Break the ice.
And I make you
more human, I guess, rather than sort of an organ of a machine.
That's right, yeah.
So
we will be working for our overlords in the future.
The keyboard coming into the show in any way.
Well, a mouse is going to be in the show, actually.
A live one?
Secret mouse code now. The line that we came up with, this creative process.
Yeah,
we had brunch yesterday.
Yeah.
We were like, going, all right, we really should write this show. Show opens on Wednesday. We really should actually work out what we're doing. That's not even kidding. We're really writing the show as we speak, over the next few days. And the line we worked out was me going, so I live in LA now. I actually just went to Vegas recently. I got these poker chips from the MGM Grand over there.
Ooh.
Blah, blah, blah. And do a trick with them. And then Dave going,
I live in Rosanna. I just came from work and I pull out a mouse from my inner pocket and I do a trick with the mouse.
I just came from Vegas. I just came from work. That's the dichotomy of what we do.
That's right.
I see where you're going.
I love it. Now, speaking of things that magically appear or don't, what is the thing that you guys do not leave home without? Because I know last time we chatted, there was a bit of an issue about gear and the need to sometimes quickly manufacture props and things. So packing was not particularly a forte.
No.
Have you improved? And what's the latest thing that you try to...
How much time do we have left? Simon could literally spend all of it talking about his gig box.
I could do a whole season on this. On the way of the gig box.
I'm trying to catch up with him. Because he's in LA. Every time I try to catch up with him, you know, hey, just talk about upcoming shows or whatever. Oh, Dave, I've got this new improvement to the gig box now. This is better and this is better and this is better. I'm like... I really don't care about your gig box.
I just want to get to LA. Yeah.
My whole life revolves around the gig box.
That's right.
The gig box is basically the box that you go to the gig and do the show out of. So it's the on-stage prop management box and it's the travel. It's like everything. It's the gig box. The box that makes the gig happen.
Is that what you call it, the gig box?
Yeah.
Mm. The gig box.
You get it.
I know.
Understand.
I feel like we're connected mindly.
I'm on my 7th generation gig box now. I keep revising it, re-engineering it as I learn more and I develop more material and...
Because they have to be a bit like Formula One garages, don't they? Where everything just fits in perfectly.
Exactly. It's frighteningly that level of thing. It's like, all right, and it clicks in perfectly. I'm like, why can't you just put it in the box? It's a massive box. Just put it in the box.
Yeah. I can see where you guys are going. You're on Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm SJ, weekday program director at Joy 94.9. Do you identify as lesbian, bi, trans, intersex, or queer? Do you love what we do and want to be involved? Joy needs you. Joy needs you. We are looking for fabulous female voices to join our weekday team. Joy is your community radio station, so let your voice be heard. Become a Joy presenter. And don't worry if you don't know how, we'll show you. Email women@joy.org.au.
Well, you're still with the Escape Pod for a few more minutes before we wrap up into the news and fresh air are coming on.
Mm.
And Seamus, thank you for your lovely words. Flattery will get you everywhere.
Oh, Seamus.
Gentlemen.
You're shameless.
Now, quickly, just very cheekily, what does bring you to Melbourne? Because you don't come to Melbourne that often anymore.
That's true. Not nearly enough.
So you are here for performance.
We're here for the comedy festival.
You are. So if people want to find out when the shows are and things like that, they just need to go to the Comedy Festival program website. Guide, which they've probably got.
Website, program guide,
go to the website. Yeah, do a search for Dave Funkel.
So what are you doing? What are you going to? What are the highlight shows that you've got that you think really setting themselves out.
Oh, wow. Don't even know. I haven't even checked yet.
Because we're so busy focused on doing the show.
Once we get through opening night, then we're going to start looking elsewhere and seeing what else is on. Because, again, you get participant passes. You can walk into nearly
any show. Have you heard of Hughie?
This Hughie guy?
He's all right, isn't he?
Yeah, his voice is weird.
I think his name is Nkate. I love Kate Langbrook. I really do.
Is Kate doing a show?
Yeah, I should see her. Yeah.
But yeah, we're actually doing, because we're doing 1 week of Simon and Dave Funkel live and insufficiently prepared, which is the perfect title.
Currently 18
degrees in the next week. And then after that, I'm doing 2 weeks of my solo show, Glitches in Reality. So it's kind of a double show package.
Mm. So it makes it worthwhile to come over and do
exactly
the trip.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, basically it pays for the trip. It just, I can see my family and friends and good coffee, you know, all the things that matter.
But LA has good coffee, doesn't it? They have that quinoa, gluten-free.
But you have to find it. It's not ubiquitous like it is in Melbourne. Mm. In LA, there are places, but you've got to go to the good coffee place. You can't just throw a brick, walk into any cafe and have amazing coffee like you can in Melbourne.
You can get a flat white anywhere in New York City now.
Mm. Oh, really? A good one? Like a Melbourne-style?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
My
it's
God.
Become a thing.
Starbucks.
It's amazing.
I'm just saying.
Don't you say that word on radio.
Aren't they looking for a liquor license, Starbucks, to try to improve their coffee?
Really?
Or is it KFC who's looking for it? I don't know.
If I was drunk, it might not be as bad.
One of those big food chains.
Yeah, they need something. They're not my cappuccino. Let's put it that way.
Write that down, Simon. That was good.
That was good stuff. That's going in the show.
Yeah. You're welcome.
You get a writing credit.
Thanks a latte for that.
Yeah. Can I have an EP? Thanks. Well, welcome back to your hometown. Thank you very much for joining us. Joe, what are you up to with the rest of the day?
Rest of the day is, well, Saturday night's usually my night in.
Yeah, shimmy into a dry martini?
I think I will be. I might dive in.
Well, stick with us all afternoon. We're about to go to the news and then we've got fresh air. So thanks for joining us all afternoon on Joy 94.9. We love having you about. Stick with us all afternoon. Go on, just stick with us. We just love hearing you and having you and being heard by you.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.